Because we left off trying to understand this minig that the Rama quotes, a minig, this practice that the Rama quotes, not to knock on the door with a door knocker, something that's miyuchad l'kach, to make noise on Shabbos. So based on the regular rules of the Gemara at the end of Erevin, it sounds like it should be okay. Whatever is not being done derech shir should presumably be permissible. So apparently the Rama is quoting the Maril saying no. That if it's a kliya miyuchad l'kach, something that's designated to make noise, somehow that's worse. And we didn't quite understand why that should be so. So there were those who wanted to argue that this is just some kind of a chumrah of the dechol. It's not a real absolute iser. It's just something that doesn't look so right. It doesn't look so Shabbos dit. Some banging with something that's designated to make noise. And even though it's technically mutter, we're going to ask for it anyway. I'll still do the dechol. That's the case. Then if it's a big shasar chak, a mokha mitzvah, things of that nature, we'd probably be a little bit more lenient. But then the Shabura quoted, maybe not. Maybe the Maril understood that this is included in the gzeira. Even though we paskin like Rabbah, that the gzeira was only made of things which are derech shir, maybe the Maril understood that if it's a kliya miyuchad l'kach, then there's more of a concern of shem yisat and klei shir. There's more of a reason to aser it. Maybe it is also mikra din. But at the end of the shir, we pointed out yesterday that if you look at the Maril itself, so neither of those reasons seem to appear. The Maril links this to a sugya in the end of the first part of Shabbos about the person who sets up the water wheel from before Shabbos, and it's working throughout Shabbos, where at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, it's usur because of Mashmiya Kol. So we wanted to know, what in the world does that Mashmiya Kol have to do with the banging on the door? The only thing the two have in common is that they're both making noise, but they seem to be two very, very different things. So we said that there are many Rishonim who understood that the reason for the issue of Mashmiya Kol is more like a Marasayan type of halacha. We're afraid that if a person's going to walk by your backyard and hear the water wheel going, so they're going to think, oh, the person must have done a malacha. The person must be teichin on Shabbos. If that's the reason, if it's based on Marisayim, so then what does that have to do with knocking on the door? They said the only reason why it makes sense to aser it is only, it's not noise that's a problem. It's noise that's associated with the malacha. It's noise is not the reason for the issur. Noise is what draws your attention to a malacha taking place on its own, which may mistakenly be thought that it happened actively. You actively set up the water wheel on Shabbos itself. But just to ask the noise in and of itself, like mechates, why should anything wrong with making noise in Shabbos? So it could be that the fact that Maharil quoted that Gemara as a source for his asr in the Nakar is because he learned, like other Rishonim who are learning, that the reason for the issur Mashmiya Kol is not nothing to do with Marisayin. It's Rashi writes the Zilzul Shabbos. It just detracts from Shabbos. Shabbos is supposed to be a day of serenity, peace, serenity, tranquility. You walk by a guy's house and there's drilling. You walk by a guy's house and there's water wheels. There's a racket going on. So that in of itself detracts from the condition of Shabbos. So it's not a malacha. It's not a marasayin of a malacha. It's an iser of Zilzul Shabbos. That in of itself is considered to be degrading of Shabbos. If that's the case, then maybe we can understand where the Maharil is coming from. Maybe there's a connection between the two. That anytime you make, in a sense, unnecessary kinds of noises on Shabbos, so that's considered to be a Zilzul Shabbos. Here the Maharil is saying, if you knock with your hands on the door, that doesn't look so bad. You start knocking with a kli, with almost an instrument on Shabbos, so that takes away, that detracts from the Kedusha Shabbos, and that's considered to be an Isser, a real Isser of Mashmiya Kol, quote-unquote Mashmiya Kol on Shabbos. Now again, that extension of the Maharil is only true if you go down the route of Mashmiya Kol being almost a Zilzul kind of a Shabbos rather than a Marisayin. The problem is that we don't seem to paskin like that version of Mashmiya Kol, because even though the Ramah's Machmir, that you're not supposed to be Mashmiya Kol on Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch, as we said yesterday, was Meikel Lagamri. Like those Rishonim will say, we don't even paskin the water wheel is a problem. But Al Atzad, that the water wheel is a problem, Mashmiya Kol is an Isser, so the Ramah seemed to assume that it's not based on Zilzul Shabbos, it's based on Marisayin. That's why the Ramah was Meikel, if it's a type of a sound that everybody knows that you set it up from beforehand. That's why the Ramah was Meikel on the grandfather clocks. So even though the clocks are chiming away throughout the course of Shabbos, that doesn't bother me, says the Ramah, because everybody knows you don't set up a grandfather clock on Shabbos morning, you set it up 6 months in advance. So whenever the Marisayin doesn't apply, the Ramah is Meikel. So once the Ramah is telling you that the whole Isser Mashmiya Kol, which is a highly questionable Isser in the first place, but even Al Atzad such an Isser exists, And then the Ramah is turning around and saying that the Yisra is only out Mar Sinai, it's not really based on Zilzal Shabbos. So then to turn around and Asa the Nakers based on Mashmiya Kol seems to be a little bit of a contradiction. So the emes is, when all the dust settles, Mikra Din, the Nakers really should be Mutter. They sound like we've been spending a half hour between yesterday and today just trying to figure out why in the world to Asa the Nakers. So everywhere we turn, we're running into problems. Uvda Dechol, we don't really understand why it's an Uvda Dechol. And if it is, it's going to be Mutter Bacha Mitzvah anyway. Most of the time, you're not going to door to get into the house of Bacha Mitzvah anyway. If it's based on a Gezerah of Shem Yisat and Kli Shir, we don't really understand it because it's not Derech Shir. If it's based on an extension of Mashmiya Kol, we don't really understand that either because Mashmiya Kol, we pass it as a Marzai, and it only makes sense when there's Malacha. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So, but it's all very nice what we're saying, but at the end of the day, the Ramah says it. The Ramah does quote this by real halacha. So, our practice it. I mean, I guess those who have knockers, the knockers are not so in style anymore. But those who have the old style knockers, so the preferable thing is not to use them on Shabbos. That's not halachatchila. They shouldn't be used on Shabbos based on this Ramah. Why exactly they're also, we have three different possibilities, and none of them are absolutely convincing. But that's the minig. Yes, the minig was in Europe not to use the knockers on Shabbos. So be it. That's what our custom is as well. But this idea of having a kli that's causing, I can't say causing music, but causing noise, has taken on a whole discussion of itself, and something which has become a little bit more relevant. Lamaise, it's not as relevant anymore in America. A little bit, I think it was even a little bit more prevalent in Europe. And that's the question of the bells on the Sifrei Torah. And you put some shuls like to have the silver with the bells on the Sifrei Torah. So the question was raised: wait a second, when you're walking and carrying the Sifrei Torah, so the bells are ringing a little bit. So is that a problem? At first glance, it's not very musical. You're not exactly derech shir, but according to what this Maril and the Ramah are telling us, is that if it's an instrument, so to speak, if it's a miyuchad lekach, so maybe that trumps any of the heterim that we may have had. So that's a shaila. So the Taz, this is already an old shaila. The Taz in the ninth of the Maamar Kamos, the last page of the Maamar Kamos. So the Taz in Yerodeya, it's a hilchos sefer Torah and Simon Reish Pei Beis Simkatan Beis. So the Taz quotes this custom of having bells in the Sefer Torah, and he questions whether that's a good custom or not. Where in the world did the custom come from? Like, why in the world should you have bells? And the Poskim write that the reason is to catch people's attention that the Sefer Torah is walking by. Because the Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin that you're mechuyev to stand up for Sefer Torah. How do you know you're mechuyev to stand up for Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says it's a kal v'chaymer. If there's a mitzvah to stand up for a Tamil Chacham, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to stand up for a Tamil Chacham. So the Gemara is a Kavachemah. If you stand up in the presence of those who learn the Sefer Torah, so Kavachemah, you stand up for the Sefer Torah proper. The simple reading of the Gemara is this is Mamash Adin Minat Torah. It's a Kavachemah. Kavachemah is one of the Midah Shetan Adreshet Mem. It sounds like the Gemara is really saying this. That's a real Din Minat Torah that you have to stand up based on a Kavachemah. Learned out from standing up for a Tamar Chacham. It's interesting, there is a Gemara in the end of Maseches Makos, where the Gemara criticizes that there were some people who would stand up for the Sefer Torah, and they wouldn't stand up for the Tamid Chachamim. Why was that? I don't have to explain why that is, but the Gemara says they didn't do that. So Rava says they were very, very foolish. Why? So Rava says because the Tamid Chacham can save them one day. What in the world does that mean? The Gemara says, if you look in the Chumash itself, in Tosh B'Chsav, if a person's Chayim Malkus, so it says, Arba'im Yekenu, it sounds like you give him 40 Malkus. So we know that the Tosh B'Peh, the Rabbanim have explained, we have a tradition, that 40 Malkus doesn't mean literally 40, it means B'Mispar Arba'im, it means Otot, just about 40, and the halacha is you only give the person 39 Malkus. So according to the pure Tosh B'Chsav, if you didn't have the Masur, you didn't have the Rabbanim, so you would give the guy 40 Malkus. Now Baruch Hashem, we have the Rabbanim who have taught us, Ish B'Piyash, and Mesh Rabbeinu B'Pashnas, they only give 39 Malkus. So it's the Rabban who saved him that extra macha. So the Gemara says that one macha can make or break it. You'd have a guy, if you give him 39 machas, he'll be okay. Give him that 40th macha, he'll die. So you see, the Rabban saved him. So if he would have just, so this guy is not right. It's a very, very strange Gemara. The Gemara is saying that the guy who's showing cover to the Sefer Torah, not showing cover to the Rabban, doesn't understand that sometimes the Torah Shabbat Bek can save his life. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. But whatever it is, whether people are right or wrong, the din is that you have to stand up both for the Tamil Chacham and for the Sefer Torah. So therefore, there was a practice that already existed in the days of the Rishonim that they would put bells on the Sefer Torah, because in case there's a guy sitting in the back and falling asleep in shul, so when he hears the bells ringing, he'll jump to attention, so he won't be in violation of this din. So the Taz writes that this minig is not such a great minig. So the Taz writes in Ramachan Rabbanai, Beis Yosef, maybe, B'shem Rabbeinu Manoach. It's already an old minig from the days of the Rishonim. That's what the minig is that we make bells. So the Taz says he doesn't think that it's a proper minig. He says if that's the case, so then you shouldn't use the Sefer Torah on Shabbos. That would be pretty silly to have a Sefer Torah you're not going to use on Shabbos. K'di'isa b'rechayim, sif yud alef, k'bizug shebitzavar behema, so he brings from a totally different area of halacha, from Shvisas Behema. There's a din that an animal is not allowed to go out into the street wearing certain things. If it's wearing things that are quote unquote like the clothing of the animal, that's okay because I'm allowed to wear clothing. So the animal's allowed to wear clothing. But if it's things that are almost external to the animal doesn't really need, so that's considered to be carrying. And if there's no Erev, so then the animal has to check the Erev also for Shabbos. So the animal's carrying in an area where there's no Erev, that's a violation of Shvisas Behema. So then in the middle of that sugya of what an animal is allowed to wear and not allowed to wear, so the Mishnah quotes that an animal shouldn't be wearing a bell on Shabbos, even if that is considered to be part of the tzorach of the behema, animals shouldn't be wearing the bell, because when the animal's wearing the bell, that's making noise. So the Taz says, you see, that you have to be careful about bells on Shabbos. That's very questionable, because that may be a different reason altogether. I'm not even sure that's the same sugya. But but going back to our sugya, the Taz continues, that there is an issur of Hashemah's call on Shabbos. V'yafal gav d'sham b'simin shin lametes, kosev ramah, v'yesh omim d'bizman hazeh kol shari, d'ein ono b'kir b'yasiyas klei shir. So says the Ramah, says the Taz, maybe we could be a little bit more lenient with Bizman Hazeh. Maybe the whole Issur of Hashemah's Kol doesn't apply today. Why? The whole Issur of Hashemah's Kol is a Gezei Rishab Yisak and Kleshir, which is the reason why we're learning on it. We have, just to remind everyone, we're doing Malacha Makbah Patish. What are we talking about? Talking about bells and Sefer Torah. Because the Gemara says that all these musical related things are all prohibited Gezei you make up to fix the instruments. So there is a Ramah in Simin Shin Lamed Tes that quotes Yesh Omrim, who say that maybe Bizman Hazeh, none of this applies. Maybe all these Yisurim of Shem Yisak and Kleshir are lifted, because the average person today doesn't know how to fix the guitar, can't fix the flute, can't fix the piano. So maybe Bizman Hazeh, maybe the whole Isser doesn't apply. It could be that the instruments that we use today are a little bit more sophisticated. You know, maybe in the days of Chazal, maybe in the old days, the instruments were very simple. And the average person knew how to fix Bizman Hazeh. Most people don't know how to fix our instruments. So the Ramah is Mekil, that maybe Bizman Hazeh, none of this Isser applies. So says the Taz, if the Ramah is Mekil and Shin Lamed Tes, maybe we can be Mekil by the bells of the Sefer Torah. So the Taz is about to take apart that kula. The Taz is about to say, well, he doesn't think that's a valid kula. But we have to stop for a second and figure out, where'd that kula come from? We know there's an Issur of Mashmir Kol on Shabbos and Yontif, and there are more quotes here showing them that maybe everything is lifted Bizman Hazeh. So we just go back for a second, back to the previous page. So the Taz was referencing a Tosfos on the 8th of the Ramat Tamos. With Tosfos and Beitza, the Flamin of Malaf is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're not supposed to dance, you're not supposed to clap, you're not supposed to make all kind of things that are related to music. Bizman Hazeh. I'm sorry, Bizman HaMishnah. So says Rashi, Pirish Rashi, Shem Yisak Klishir. Umil Didon Shari. Says Tosfos, Bizman Hazeh, you can clap and you can dance, you can do all these things. Why? Tadavka be a man, Shari, Beki and Lasas Klishir, Shaykh Lamigzer. Only in the olden days when most people knew how to fix these kinds of elementary, these simple instruments. So then there was a fear of Shem Yisak Klishir. You let a person clap and dance, etc., he may come to fix it. Avala Didon, for us, ain't on a Beki and Lasas Klishir. For us, we don't know how to do these things anyway, Velo Shaykh Lamigzer. And therefore, we shouldn't make this Kazera. So in one fell swoop, two lines, Tosfos knocked out the whole Mishnah and Beitza about clapping and dancing and everything on Shabbos and Yontif, because Shem Yisak Klishir doesn't make sense for us, because we don't know how to make Klishir. So this Tosfos is potentially going to become part of the Heter that the Taz is saying. The Taz is arguing that, well, maybe we could justify the bells of the Sefer Torah based on this Tosfos. So before we could justify the bells on the Sefer Torah, we didn't even know how to justify this Tosfos. What did Tosfos just say? Tosfos just said that Bizman Hazeh, the Mishnah doesn't apply. Take an eraser, across that line out of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you can't dance, can't sing. I'm sorry, you can't dance, can't clap. And Tosfos says it's okay. So this Tosfos seems to contradict a well-known principle in halacha, that batla tam lo batla gzeira. Just because the reason for a particular din derabanan no longer applies, that does not necessarily mean that the din derabanan disappears. Like, why should that be so? We don't say this in other cases. There are many, many cases where the reason doesn't apply, and the halacha still applies. We call that a lo plug. Chazal made isurim across the board. And if and when you want to cancel a certain din derabanan, you have to have a Moshe Beis Din, you have to have a Beis Din get together, and it could be the Beis Din have to be a greater Beis Din than the previous Beis Din. There are klolim how to do away with din derabanan. Din derabanan don't just disappear into thin air because you think the reason doesn't apply. So the Tosfos is not a very, very difficult Tosfos. So the post can point out that this Tosfos is, although Tosfos didn't elaborate upon this, they're probably pointing out the following distinction, that not all Yisurim Derabanan are created equal. Some Yisurim Derabanan were instituted almost standing on their own 2 feet, not for any particular reason, even though there may have been a reason in the background, but the Takana de Gezeirah was instituted as a statement in and of itself. And there are other Yisurim Derabanan that were instituted when the reason was actually incorporated into the Gezeirah itself. And Chazal actually said, don't do this because of such and such. So sometimes they said, don't do this, and they left it at that for a reason. Chazal didn't make reasons in a vacuum. They made Gezeirahs for a reason, but they didn't necessarily elaborate upon the reason. They didn't disclose the reason. The Gezeirah takes on a life in and of itself. And sometimes the Gezeirah was linked to a particular reason. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah tells us a story that when Chazal made a Gezeirah Derabanan not to eat goyish cheese, especially the Rabbanon, for a variety of reasons, not to eat what's called Kvinas Akum. So when they first made the Gezeirah, so some of the Tanoim were asking, the Tanoim were involved in making the Gezeirah, why'd you make the Gezeirah for? So they didn't want to answer why. So Gemara says the reason why they didn't want to answer is that when you make a Gezeirah, so at the beginning it's not such a good idea to tell everybody why you did it. Let the Gezeirah kick in first, let it seep in first, let people understand it, to do it first. And then afterwards, the Gemara says, a year later, then you can explain to them what they're doing. Sometimes, when you tell everybody a reason, so then everyone's going to think they're smarter than you. Oh, well, that reason doesn't apply to me, and that's a silly reason, that's a bad reason, and somebody disagrees with the reason, and da 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 da. I think we're well aware of the phenomenon of manazeh. This is a very, very, there's almost a tightrope that sometimes the bottom have to walk with manazeh. So this is a person who asks for a psak. So, there's a very, very delicate balance. On the one hand, you don't want to be dogmatic that us are finished. People want to understand, and sometimes rightfully so, they want to understand what they're doing, why they're doing what they're doing. On the other hand, sometimes when you reveal a little bit too much, so you have to know who you're talking to. So if you tell a person a little bit too much, so then they may draw the conclusion, oh, the rabbi said I can't do it because of this reason. Oh, the rabbi doesn't really understand that this reason doesn't apply. And then, so a rav has to be very, very careful. You don't want to get into the habit of people thinking you're just, not explaining and you're just being, a dictator, On the other hand, sometimes when you give people a little bit, I think as the phrase goes, a little knowledge sometimes can do some harm. So you have to walk a balancing act in terms of that. So that's what Chazal also, when they made Gezeirah Derabanan, on the one hand, they wanted people to learn, they wanted people to understand, they wanted people to appreciate what they're doing. On the other hand, sometimes if you say too much, that can undermine the Gezeirah itself. So we don't, we're sitting back now 2,000 years later trying to figure out what went through the minds of Chazal when they made Gezeirah X, Y, and Z. So some Gezeirahs apparently the reason was elaborated upon, and some Gezeirahs apparently the reason was not elaborated upon. So the Achronim point out that only when the reason was actually incorporated into the Gezeirah, it was actually publicized, it was a real, that was clear what the reason was. So then you can begin to say, well, if the reason doesn't apply, then the din doesn't apply. But if the Gezeirah was made stam, and now something comes up 1,000 years later that the reason doesn't apply, so then we apply the rule of bat latam lo bat lagzeira. Of course, the multi-million-dollar question is, how do you ever know which gezeiras were which? We have thousands of gezeiras mentioned in the Mishnayos and the Gemaras, and we have almost no way of knowing which were which. That's what the Reb Chaim Noah was a contemporary of the Chazon Ish. So he wrote a sefer called Ketosa Shulchan. So he was the Bartluk. He was going to disagree with the Chazon Ish and some of the measurements, the Kazayas and the Kibetzes and the Tvach and the Yamas. He was the other voice in Eretz Yisrael at the time in terms of Shiur and Shal Torah. So in his sefer, Ketosa Shulchan, so he has a long, long piece to try to analyze this. How do you know which Kazayas was yeah, which Kazayas was no? And he almost throws up his hand and says, there's almost no way to know. So you have this Taisus here that says that Taisus somehow, Taisus had more Ruch Kedish than we have. So yeah, I have no Ruch Kedish, but Taisus had some Ruch Kedish. So Ruch Chaim Noah says, so Tosfos figured out, Tosfos understood, Tosfos realized that the Gezeirah of clapping and dancing must be one of those Gezeirahs that could potentially become batel. Can we extrapolate from that Tosfos to other Gezeirahs? It's very, very hard to do so. So we're kind of, our hands are tied. So Tosfos was matir the clapping and the dancing. Okay, Tosfos was matir that, but we don't really know what to do with that. So comes the Taz and says, comes the Taz, go back to the ninth of the Mamakamos. So the Taz is trying to relam itzchus on the bells on the Sefer Torah. So the Taz said that maybe we can make it based on that Tosfos. So back to the third line of the Taz. V'yeshom, the end of the third line, V'yeshom, the bizman is kol shari. The ain't on the beginning of the Sisk Lashir. Mikomokom, says the Taz, he doesn't know whether we should rely on this. Kevin shaladeh harishoni yesh iser. Amai navet lechatchila iser. Says, first of all, not everyone agrees to that Tosfos. Even the Ramah himself quotes the yeshom who disagree. Probably most of the Rishonim disagree. So we know, why should we rely on this lechatchila? That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Simen Shin Lamed Tes. So the Mishnah Berurah writes the same story. He says that although there is an opinion in Rishonim that permits dancing and clapping, etc., we're not running to go bimata. That's just outright. The Mishnah Berurah writes, but there's a big tzarech, a big kavod, a Torah, a big bacha mitzvah, a big some real, real tzarech. Then we do it. Just stop to dance for no reason on Shabbos if it's not so compelling. So it's really not right to do that. We shouldn't rely on that tosfos lechatchila. That's what we have. Our minhag is that we rely on that Tosfos lechatchila and Simchas Torah. That's what the minhag Yisrael has become, that we all clap, we all dance in Simchas Torah, even though according to, if you don't follow the Tosfos, then you can't do our kafas. So we rely on that Tosfos lechatchila and Simchas Torah. But in regular Shabbos, in regular Yantav, so we're very weary to rely on that Tosfos. Certain organizations, NCSY organizations, are a little bit more makel in this, so they feel that this is a makom tzorech, a makom kirev, a makom chizuk, things like that. So they're more lenient to have different kinds of dancing, clapping, things like that on Shabbos and Yantif. And those that don't feel such a big tzorech, so probably should avoid those kinds of things, unless there's some very, very necessary reason to do it.
What about
bar mitzvah? Bar mitzvah? I don't think it's such an unbelievable tzorech. But I think we can be a little bit more making lines, what we call the lingo called the yeshivish shuffle. Namely, that walking around in a circle with your hands on somebody else's shoulders, I don't think that's too much dancing. I don't think it should be a satin cliche. So that's why I think in the answers we're cold. We're pretty leaning on that. Although we have the big dances Friday night are usually before Ms. Mashiach, if I remember correct, right? So we have two big, right? You have,
depends on how long the speech is, but.
Yeah, but it's usually Yom Kippur that we make early Shabbos, and it's Friday night in the summertime. So by the time we get to the dancing before Ms. Mashiach, it's usually still way before Shkia. So that's why I participate in those dances. Those dances that happen at a later point.
The tish,
usually don't get such major. It's a little crowded there, so usually just a little bit of walking around in a circle. So one could be a little bit more makel than that.
Okay. Banging on the table is mirrors.
Yes, the banging on the table is mirrors is the same thing. So I think that the post came right that one should try to bang the chetchila with the shiri. So when I sing mirrors, I clap this, or you bang like this, you bang like that. You figure out two fingers on your finger. We're not so musical in our family, so it doesn't sound good no matter what we do. Anyway, so the Taz says that he doesn't think we should go run to be makel so fast on the Sefer Torah. And he said, now he has an interesting line, the proper Sefer Torah. He says, for sure, we're dealing with the Sefer Torah, so we should be makel on a shayla that maybe it is the rabban of the chavar Torah. I'm on the thing. He said, let's be more machmir when we're dealing with the Sefer Torah. So then he says, v'sukere, the ein makel sham el ba'osan dvarim she'ein dom mamash the klishir. He says, and even Tosfos wasn't matir to play the piano on Shabbos. Tosfos was matir to play the drums on Shabbos. Tosfos was matir to dance and to clap and things which are not real shir. Okay, he did misafkin misafkin biyad. V'ach the zug the dom tefil klishir yesh isla divrei kol. So he says that instruments mamish are things that should be avoided, even according to Tosfos. L'cheinir elisha ein lasos osan pa'monim. So he says he thinks that the more correct minig is not to have the bells on the Sefer Torah. He said the Ramah himself doesn't quote the custom. The Ramah, neither Nuchah Sefer Torah nor Nuchah Shabbos, doesn't quote the custom of having bells because it sounds like the Ramah didn't think that it was a proper minig. He says, we've seen that they had these bells on a certain shul, he doesn't know which shul it was, and the Tamil Chacham, who understood that it's a questionable minhag, they put up a fight, they were moicha. Apparently, it must have been, I can just imagine why the other people wanted it, because someone had probably donated the bells. So, v'silkum, and they removed the bells. They were matzliach to remove the bells. So the Taz says, the lechatchila should remove all the bells in the Sefer Torah. We'll see afterwards. We'll see next week. There are some poskim who defended the practice of the bells. And actually, we don't have bells. We have only one sefer Torah, which we have any silver on at all. And it looks like bells. It's not bells. They don't make any noise. And they're just what are they, like the pomegranates. I'm not sure they ruin it, whatever they call them. But it's not. They don't much make any noise. Do they have bells here? You have any sure? Some sefer Torah. No, they don't have.
They don't make any noise.
When I was a kid, I grew up. No, you don't remember the bells? Sure. All the shuls had the bells.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah,
Everyone got firmer, so either they got firmer or they got cheaper. So everyone remember they were mitzliach to remove all the bells. Although the truth is that somebody in Israel actually did want to donate. They had some extra things from silver from another Sefer Torah that they had, and they wanted to actually donate to us. And when we started opening up the shul, I said, I'll do that without the... I didn't want it for 2 years. First of all, I didn't want to cry for the silver. It was like some fairly expensive stuff, and I didn't want the bells either. So I blamed it on the silver rather than on the bells. Okay, anyway, Shalom. Hopefully, next week we'll try to finish up the sugya. Okay, now we get to a final, hopefully, a final tally over here.